Okay, Reggie, we ready to go? Levels look good. Let's just get started with this thing. 348, episode 348. Here we go. Star, smile strong. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget, tell your friends, tell your family, tell anybody who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion is much appreciated. Don't forget, if you like what you hear, go to WGNRadio.com, go to the podcast section. Click the prompt for this podcast, and you will find a plethora of podcasts just waiting for you to binge on. So what are you waiting for? They're all there. By my tally, this is episode 348. And welcome to episode 348. We've got a special guest here to ring in the new year and to talk about things that are always interesting in the pop culture world. So I'm very happy to welcome back, not only to the podcast, but for this new season or this new year, Emily Arminetti. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Jim.
How you doing? Did you have a good New Year's and everything?
Yeah, it was great. Thanks. How about you?
Not too bad. Low-key, but fun. I once again have broken my resolution to never watch any of those New Year's Eve shows.
Oh, okay.
Because they are the worst television ever produced. And somehow they even topped themselves this year. The one observation I made was that clearly Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen definitely need to be drunk, or there is absolutely no entertainment value there at all.
Agreed. We were in Utah, so we were watching football right up until the ball dropped.
Oh,
so
we
switched at the last minute. So we spared ourselves really bad.
Wow. Awful. Yeah. Every station. Yeah. Every station. And yeah. I mean, once again, I'm showing my age here, which is pretty easy at this point. But I mean, I didn't know anybody. Except for Duran Duran. I mean, any performer, what's his name? Ryan Seacrest had apparently some TikTok woman. Hosting with them. It's like, I never thought I'd ask, for Kathy Griffin to show up again on television, but wow.
I know, right? Well, if it makes you feel any better, I don't know who those TikTok people are either.
This was unbelievable. So. Yeah. I mean, it was just crazy. Plus it was pouring rain. It was just, but what I wanted to talk to you about today, is a common, kind of topic that we do talk about. And we just had a couple of weeks ago, the Golden Globes. In about a month or so, we'll have the SAG Awards. And then on March 12th, we'll have the Oscars. And this year's Golden Globes were interesting because there wasn't any last year.
Right.
So it was going to be interesting. They got into a whole bunch of politically correct, woke trouble for finding out that the Hollywood Foreign Press, which puts on the Golden Globes, didn't have any black reporters in their 87 or so membership. Right. And many of the winners, on a regular basis, not only diversity in the nominees and in the winners, but also, again, in the whole committee, the whole enterprise had a lack of diversity. So of course, in today's world, that's a no-no. So the entire presentation televised was canceled, boycotted by many people, so they didn't do it. They gave the awards away, but they did it online, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
it was so not. It was such a non-event last year,
right?
So they certainly wanted to get back in the game, and so they did you watch it, the whole thing, or what did you do?
I did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
I
you actually watched it live?
I have to say, though, I didn't even realize it was on until that day. I didn't know. I don't know what the... For some reason, the award shows are, like, always, getting away from me. But someone at the last minute will, so this year my dad was like, oh, here, you're going to watch the Golden Globes tonight? I was FaceTiming with my parents, as we do, since they live in Chicago and we're here in Texas. And I was like, oh, my gosh. The Golden Globes are on tonight.
I know.
So it's I almost missed it.
Yeah. You wouldn't have, in my view, you wouldn't have missed anything. They weren't on last year. Didn't care. They were on this year, and Jimmy Crackhorn, and I don't care.
Still don't care.
Wow, that was. I mean, I had to. I was already DVRing it, and I started to watch it live, and then. Mm-hmm. From the first minute, I could see it was going to be a train wreck, and I just, kept going away and coming back, and then, so I'd wait like 20 minutes and go back and then then rewind and get to the awards and then listen to about 30 seconds of the babbling that went on these ridiculous speeches and then fast forwarded, and when I got to real time, and Jared Carmichael, or Gerard, got back on to do his whatever he thought he was doing. I don't know how you felt, but I just thought the whole thing was very painful. I know he's popular with the young people, but I just felt he was, and at least he admitted at the beginning that the only reason he was hosting it and he was chosen was because he was black.
Well, I think he... Yeah, I mean,
that was a joke, but it wasn't that far from the truth.
I think he's recognizing that he is part of this recalibration, and course correction that the Hollywood Foreign Press is doing to try to revamp, and I mean, I actually didn't. I liked his opening monologue. I liked that.
Really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. But see, he
what did you like better? The shushing of the audience?
No, okay. So
the
smug
personality.
Let me just say, I have seen his parts of his stand-up special, and that he definitely has a very that is part of his act. I mean, he's just very low key and calm and more of a storyteller almost. And so his style, and I think was a little different for people because they're used to especially when comedians host these awards, they're used to kind of more of what you expect from a stand-up sort of routine where they're moving around the stage and they're, here and there and they're, and they've got you engaged. He's more low key.
You mean they're funny and entertaining. They're funny and entertaining then, right?
Well, I liked that he was not afraid to say, hey, look, Hollywood Foreign Press, we know what you're doing here, in hiring me and bringing me in to do this. And I did think he had some funny moments in the opening monologue. Now, that's where it ended, because I thought that ongoing gag about shushing the audience was not funny and awkward at a certain point.
I don't think he was trying to be funny. See, that's the thing. I don't think he was trying to be funny. I don't think that was a joke. I think he was very serious.
Wasn't funny. So I don't I don't know why. I mean, it just seemed very odd, and it needed to stop at a certain point. And he wasn't really reading the room.
No.
So I just thought after that opening monologue, everything he did after that was either it just fell really flat, or it was in such poor taste. The Whitney Houston joke.
Oh my gosh!
Really?
Well, the problem that he had is, I mean, this is the first time he has been on that kind of a big stage. I understand he's very popular on the Netflix,
yeah,
or wherever he is, but in today's very you know, segmented, niche-y world. It doesn't take much, sadly, to become popular with just a small audience. I do not think he's a seasoned performer at all. And this was he was not ready for this kind of a stage. And because he's used to being in a comedy club or even a theater where he's in control. And to your point,
right?
You said that's his style. Okay, if I know that's his style because I like him and I go there, then I will. I'm already aware of that, and I am playing into that, and we're on the same page. But he walked in with that attitude of the shushing, and he just strolled that stage like he was in a room with the biggest celebrities in the world, and he was acting as if he was the coolest guy in the room. Now usually he is. When he's in a comedy club, right, he's the coolest guy in the room. But in that room, yeah, it's a very special room. He wasn't even the 500th coolest person in the room. There was Brad Pitt, and everybody, there was the biggest, and Steven Spielberg. There, he was a pimple, and he still was, because that's all he knows. And you hit it right on the head. He didn't know how to read the room, and he didn't know how to play that room.
Yes. And you know, and then everything else adds. So it was like the Whitney Houston joke was really bad. Speaking of Steven Spielberg, the Kanye West joke.
Oh my God.
So cringy. The fact that poor Steven Spielberg, like somehow mustered up a chuckle.
Yeah.
Cause you know, he is a very experienced, obviously he's about as seasoned as it gets. He knows
he
that
Hollywood.
The camera is going to pan to him
right
as soon as, and he was, I mean, I hate even you saying he was a good sport about it, because nobody should have even chuckled at that. Not even Steven Spielberg. I kind of wish that Steven Spielberg had given him, you know, the side eye or something.
Right.
Because that was just not, it wasn't funny. It was an extremely poor taste. And especially on a night where Steven Spielberg is there to honoring like the story of his life, which right, as he mentioned in his speech,
exactly,
he has been trying to figure out for his entire career how to tell that story.
Right.
It's a very deeply personal thing for him because
yeah,
it's a story about his family and his life and his mom. And, you know, it was just, I just don't know. Yeah. What he was doing, the Tom Cruise.
Oh,
gag,
well, that, yeah. I mean, that was, yeah, that was so inside baseball. Nobody knows the head of Scientology. Nobody knows his wife is missing.
Well, except the people in the room.
Exactly.
And they
but
that joke.
Yeah.
And half of them are Scientologists.
Exactly. So once again, no reading of the, you know, what would have been funny if he were just, you know, this is the difference between knowing a room and knowing what's funny and not. It was funny just to come up and say what he should have done because he comes out with the three Golden Globes that apparently Tom Cruise had given back his last year because of this, the foreign press with no diversity. So he's trying to be very politically correct. So he comes out with, you know, Gerard Carmichael comes out with these three Golden Globes and says, oh, we have the three Golden Globes that Tom Cruise has. And instead of making this obscure joke about Scientology, and maybe we could trade these in for the safe return of the wife of Scientology who's been missing. I mean, gosh, who even, you know, give me a break. All he should have said was, I've got these three, and who wants one?
Yeah.
And, anything, you know, or, hey, Brad,
maybe just not make a Tom Cruise.
Well,
joke.
Yeah. Well, no, that's fine. If you wanted to do that, because they were introducing two people from.
No, I know, but I think that made it even. But I think that made it worse, because those two guys that were being introduced, I mean, these guys, their career is on the rise. They got
right
to be in one of those highly anticipated sequels for decades, and they do not want to be on Tom Cruise's.
Well, not only that, so everybody in that room
yeah,
wants to be in the next Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah,
they're all actors,
poor guys.
Yeah,
now they're following this,
oh,
this is their introduction. They don't want to be associated with this bad Scientology,
but my point,
joke.
All he had to do was, it would have been a good gag to come out the three and say, because of the time, that was fine. But my point is, he didn't know the right joke, or he didn't know when to stop. He just could have said, well, here's Tom Cruise's things. What should we do with them? Maybe these guys want
them. Yeah, whatever.
Boom, boom, boom. Or like I said, would have been funny. Who wants one? And walk out there. Brad, you want one? You know, go to, you know, Julia, do you want one? Whoever's there. Steven, you might not get one later. You want one now? You know, I mean, whatever. And then fine. But to make this, I mean, my gosh, the room groaned. I mean, what's so great is they don't know what they want. They get Ricky Gervais, who goes out there and treats the crowd with no respect at all in a funny way to just say, hey, you know, let's all just make let's realize how silly this is and revel in our pompousness.
Yeah.
And so then he attacks everybody and everybody groans and gets mad. Then they have, you know, Tina Fey and she doesn't offend anybody.
Amy Poehler, they're good.
I know, but my point is they played it safe, and everybody was fine.
They also don't want to keep doing it. They don't want to keep doing it.
No, I understand, but they played it safe, and then everybody says, "Well, that was boring." And then they get this guy, who he's hot and hip, and of course they're trying. I mean, you know, the irony is they tried to be diverse. You can't force diversity. You can't force humanity. You know, it's like, so what do they do? They get a black, African-American hot comedian to host it. Okay, check mark there. They gave a lot of African-American nominees and a lot of African-American winners. But at the end of the day, the best part was the biggest winners were all white and middle-aged.
Well, I thought also, I mean, I think they definitely need to make changes, and I appreciate what they're trying to do. But I also see your point, which I think is it can't just be a tick box.
No. And you can't overcompensate.
Well, I think that, but I do think they have to make changes, right? So, I think that that's something that they can't get away from. It's just that they don't know how, they maybe don't know how to go about doing that in a more authentic way. But the thing is, like, even I thought the most egregious thing was when he introduced Helen, the head of the Hollywood Foreign Press, to come out and talk about all the changes they've made. And here comes Helen, who is a blonde white lady.
Exactly.
But the weirdest thing, too, about that is then the camera's panning around the room, and there are a bunch of people kind of giving the side eye because they're like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Here comes this blonde white lady to tell us all about how they're making changes that are, you know, very necessary and needed. And, and even the people giving her the side eye are like privileged,
right,
middle-aged white men.
Right.
I'm like, Colin Farrell and, Brad Pitt giving this lady the side eye. Yeah. It was just kind of bizarre.
The problem, we've talked about this before, and I really think that the award shows are perfect television fodder. You know, they're perfect. They're a block, a 3-hour block. So the programmers just say it's on, and I don't have to worry about anything else on that day. It's filled with celebrities. They now have extended it in the last 25 years or so because of the red carpet, which I actually believe the red carpet now is really the only reason for these award shows, because nobody even remembers 3 days later who won the award. No one cares. When you see the headline, the headlines from the Golden Globes were either about Gerard Carmichael's bad jokes, the Scientology joke, or Eddie Murphy's joke about Will Smith.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we don't even know. I don't know if you just saw there's another new award that just came out a couple years ago called the Critics' Choice Awards.
Yes.
Now these were on. I don't know. You know, I read just to find out what it is. Apparently, it's a recent merger of broadcast television journalists and broadcast film. They were both different groups, and they merged to create this Critics Association.
Mm-hmm.
All I saw the next day was once again, I didn't see who. I had to actually go in and go three layers in to find where the winners were, because the big story was Seth Rogen panned the CW network for some reason, of which it was
Yeah, so first of all, it was broadcast on the CW, and that's why I didn't watch it, because I kind of wanted to watch it, because Chelsea Handler was hosting, and I do actually like Chelsea Handler. And so I wanted to watch it, but when we cut the cord, apparently the CW was one of the things that got lost in the shuffle.
Oh, so you cut the cord.
Yeah, well, we did a while ago, and we have, so our main thing is like YouTube TV, and then we have all the other, all the other streaming services, you know? So YouTube TV is where our, we'll call it TV Guide is.
Right.
You know, where all the channels.
Yeah.
And so we don't get the CW, and I'm assuming a lot of people don't get the CW, so I don't know who was watching this. Yeah.
But my point is, I'm just wondering, these award shows, I don't know. Everybody, there's all this anticipation of, the anticipation of it, including the red carpet shows, which are the anticipation of it, are more of the lure. The actual show itself, the last 10 years, and I've been saying this, and I, as I said, once again, look who the Oscars get to host, you know, everybody's favorite piece of white bread, Kimmel, Jimmy Kimmel, right? Nothing controversial, nothing opinionated. It's going to be white bread with butter. Everybody's going to be kumbaya-ing, and I'm like, so, you know, that's going to be, I could tell you, it's going to be a boring show. And the sad part is, right now, I mean, in all honesty, from the Golden Globes perspective, how many of the movies did you see?
I think I've seen not a single movie.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, at this point, I mean, you know,
was Glass Onion nominated? That is the only movie I've seen this year.
Yeah, me too.
And it was because I was traveling and I downloaded it. It was on Netflix.
Right.
I downloaded it to watch on the flight.
I just think that we are in such a weird time right now. I've kind of described it as, our whole society is kind of like making the sausage. We don't know what we're doing. We know what we want, but we don't know how to get there or what to do. We're throwing stuff in. We're not following a recipe. We're just going like, I guess, let's try this, let's try that. Nobody knows. I mean, to your point, you didn't even know the Golden Globes were on. That whole world of what's on, where's on. There was a show that I really liked that was on a couple of years ago with Bryan Cranston called Your Honor. And it was on Showtime. And it was a very good show. Just this morning, I got up early this morning. I'm clicking around my thing, and I was on Showtime. And I see Your Honor, and I'm like, why are they replaying this? So I hit the button for the information, and it says, you know, it's a new episode. And I'm like,
okay,
who knew that there was a season two of this?
Well, especially with Bryan Cranston,
right?
You would think that it would.
I'm every day I'm online watching, reading stuff. There wasn't a mention of season two. But to your point, Roy, Bryan Cranston on television. When I think about this, I mean, here, okay, so like you said, there's some buzz about the Fablemans because of Steven Spielberg, and this personal story. Now there's this other movie that everybody's talking about, Everything Everywhere All Over Again or something. Is that what it's
called?
All
at Once. Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, by the way, though, Jim, I do have to say, because I think Gerard Carmichael threw you off a bit. And so I will say you missed one of the best speeches I've seen in years.
Which one?
It was the guy who won, I think it was Best Supporting Actor for Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, okay.
And do you know who that is?
No, who is it?
Okay, so it's an actor named Ki Hui Kwan.
Uh-huh.
And I did not realize this. He started off his speech by saying, you know, I was raised to always remember where you came from, and I'm so glad that Steven Spielberg is in this room, because he gave me my first, you know, chance and job in this industry. He's the little kid from
Is he the kid from the Temple of Doom with the bad little hat on?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, how funny.
And he gave he was the first speech of the night and the best speech of the night. And I think Jennifer Coolidge was a close second.
Okay, but with Jennifer Coolidge, let's talk about that. Okay, I thought her acceptance speech was fine.
Yeah.
But
I
that
loved it.
First speech.
Oh, when she was
when she came out to give an award, they let her go. They would let her go on for 20 minutes about absolutely nothing.
I know.
And I was like, if they play anyone off who won an award later in this show.
I agree.
Because they let this one go on for no reason. There was no point. It was babbling. Once again, two minutes.
That's her thing.
I know, but you know what? To your point, the biggest advice to anyone in that situation, when you're in any, forget about a award show, read the room. That's her shtick. That's fine. Not in that scenario where we're here to give the awards. And, you know, I wonder if she was just wondering, look, if I don't win later, I can't give my speech later. So I'm going to do my shtick now.
Well, I think it's more like they said to her, because that's kind of her thing. Her thing is kind of off the cuff.
I understand that, but
whatever.
It was way too long and it went nowhere.
They said to her, like, I don't think they really had anything prepared for her. I think they just said, go be you. Yeah. Like, go out there.
Bad idea.
Okay.
Bad idea.
I did really like her speech,
You mean the beginning one?
Her
acceptance speech was fine, but the beginning thing, you already had Gerard, you know, she was the next one out. After his too cool for the room, hushing and that strutting, and then he had more outfit changes than Cher has ever had in her life. Every time they came back from a commercial, he had a different outfit on.
Well, he made a joke about that.
He made a joke. But my point is, you know, if you're trying to, you know, he had such an opportunity to be on the big stage. And you know what? Don't throw everything out at one time. You know, keep a little mystery. What he should have done is play that room. Pick your points, pick your moments, and then want people to come back again. And then you could slowly unpeel the onion as to who you are and people get to like you. This guy came on like, everybody knows who I am. Everybody knows my shtick. And I'm just, and it's like, nobody knew who you were of the billions of people, maybe 10, you know, maybe those people in that room knew, but the audience didn't know who you were. They didn't know your style. And he came, I mean, I don't know how this guy goes on. I mean.
Well, I think the thing is that he had a super hot Netflix stand-up special. But to your point, that is a much smaller audience one of these award shows, especially the Golden Globes. Because, you know, next to the Oscars, that's kind of like considered, you know,
it won't be anymore.
Hollywood Foreign Press got it.
It won't be anymore. As I said before, that show wasn't on last year. And it came back this year, and I'll tell you, I don't know if I'm ever going to watch it again, because it's never, and they always give it, it's a precursor. It's never a precursor to the Oscars, because the Hollywood Foreign Press is always starstruck. They always nominate the biggest stars and the most popular things. And obviously many times, foreign, you know, actors who nobody even knows and rarely even get nominated, because obviously it's the foreign press. So it's not a precursor. The only reason it's a precursor is because it's the first one of the year.
Yeah.
And so it's the first time that there's some kind of coalescing around something. But, you know, I can't, but if you look at some of the past winners, Some of the past winners of the Golden Globes never even get nominated for an Oscar. Forget that they win. They don't even get nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, these days, now that the Oscars have like 10 different films nominated, but that's, things have changed with the Oscars in recent years, you know.
So here's my question, because I mean, to be honest with you, like I said, it was a great night for Steven Spielberg. There was a very personal movie, as you said, The Fablemans. It's nice to see, you know, a guy at this time of his life, 75, finally tells this, as you said earlier, tells this story of his family. We've heard little bits and pieces of it. He's always said that throughout all of his movies, he's been sort of telling this story in little fragments, whether it's through E.T. or Close Encounters or things like that. But he finally had the guts to tell it, and so that was nice to see. But I'm just wondering. I mean, I know that you. I mean, hey, once again, I give you a lot of credit for watching the whole thing in real time.
Well, but, you know, I have. But I also like to watch. I also like the fashion, so that appeals to me in a way that it probably doesn't appeal
right.
to
you. Right? Yeah. No. Like I said. People, well, to me, what they should do is they should just have the red carpet.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
Now, once again, I don't know which station you watched. Did you watch Laverne Cox?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how you did that either.
I like Laverne. The only problem is she asked the same question.
She's taking the Oprah, the annoying Oprah, bah, 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 to a new level. Oh.
I liked her dress too.
Oh God,
it was pretty. But I think she just the thing is that she asked the same question too many times.
Right,
of exactly. Different
well, because
people.
There's no.
But she's not really. She's an actress.
I know. So this is my point. So why is she doing this? This is my point. The line is blurred now. You know.
But I think one thing she really is good at, which is a very much a red carpet thing, is she is really good. She knows the fashion and she knows the designers and she can spot like. She can guess who's wearing what even before they tell her, because she is very well versed in fashion.
Tell us
fashion.
Your story. What story are you telling us?
Yeah, what story are you telling? That is the question she asks too many times.
Yeah,
question. It's a good question to ask once.
Right. Oh, what kills me is, like I said, the line has been blurred. When you watch these things now, half the time, the celebrity is complimenting the reporter on their dress. It's like the reporter.
That happened to Joan Rivers occasionally.
But my point is the reporter is supposed to be invisible. You're not supposed to say, oh, like I saw a clip from that Critics' Choice thing because they had the bad red carpet thing. And Michelle, who was in The Fablemans, Michelle Williams, is that her name?
Yeah, Michelle Williams
was with Busy Phillips.
Yes, they're like best friends.
Yeah, and they're talking to the woman. I don't even know who she was. And she said, "We love your dress." And then the reporter is this guy, Sam somebody. He's an LA guy. He's been there forever. He always does the reports on the news. And they're like, "Oh my God, we love you. We've been watching you for 30 years." And I'm like, "What? What is happening here?" The reporter is supposed to be invisible. I'm asking you the questions, and of course he loves the fact. You know, there's no more. I don't even know what these shows are. And like I said, the worst part is the awards are supposed to be the high point, and we never even find out who the winners are because there's either, you know, some horrible event that happened. You know, and that look at the Oscars a few years ago. They announced the wrong winner.
Yeah, which was kind of exciting, actually.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. But it's exciting unless you were involved in it. I mean, it shows a lack of preparation and professionalism. It's interesting, I guess. But
yes, but that was the fault of the accountants.
Yeah, well,
that
whatever.
Is
but
not
I'm just saying,
it's the fault of the presenters.
But my point is, it shouldn't happen. These shows are just—I don't know what they are anymore. And the sad part is that network television is so losing its grip on television. you know, on the viewership, it's a mere shadow of what it used to have in terms of viewership and influence. And I mean, if you watch any of these things, these award shows that talk about television, network programming isn't even in the nominees anymore. It's all streamers.
I know. Well, I mean, maybe they should start poaching people over from streaming, you know, services to help run networks. But remember, the networks will always be hamstrung by what they can and cannot show on network TV. Whereas the streaming services, and like the cable channels, you know, before them, don't have those same constraints. So if The Sopranos had been on NBC, it would have been a very different show.
Oh, it would have been a completely different show. There's you couldn't even do it. You couldn't do it on network television. No question.
Yeah.
Well, here's my tying up question here, because we're a little short on time today, and I appreciate you taking the time. Will you watch the Golden Globes next year?
Oh, I mean, of course.
Oh,
but I might be the only person watching.
Oh my God! I swear. I mean, once again, to your point, I do. I have an interest, but granted, I have an interest that is waning as the years go on by the ways these shows are presented. And as I said before, sadly, the film industry is so fragmented right now that, you know, this is the funniest part. When I fast forwarded to just when they would just announce the nominees and the winners, right? Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any of the movies. I haven't even seen a lot of the shows that were nominated because they're so niche-y.
Right.
I predicted every winner.
Oh.
Every winner. And I didn't see any of them. But I knew who was going to win because I knew they were getting diverse. I knew that what was the hot Abbott, everybody loves Abbott Elementary. You know that's going to win.
Well, you know, it's a good show.
I'm just saying. I haven't even seen an episode, but I knew it was going to sweep. You know, I could just tell what was going to win by the fact of what's hot or what in that night the Golden Globes had to present. You knew that White Lotus, and you knew that Jennifer Coolidge was going to win. You knew that Spielberg was going to win when he won for best, screenplay. Okay, he's going to win for best director, and things like that, or best film. So it was just like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, this boom, boom, and it's like I didn't even see any of them.
Right.
So I don't know if that's good or bad that they're that easy to be. To be nominated, but I don't know. I give you so much credit for sticking in there, for being entertained, and for wanting to watch it again. And if there is one next year, I promise I will call you again and we will do it one more time.
That sounds good.
Thanks a lot, Emily.
Thanks, Jim.
And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, to anybody who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion is much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 348. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen.